weeks ago, he said, "Brother, what is it that you say?" And I said, "This is still the best life. Of all the choices that we have, the ways that we can live, this one is still the best way." Amen. And that water is what makes it so. Well, Happy New Year. Amen. You looking forward to a good year? You might have some challenges, don't you think? You might have some problems. You might have some difficulties. Still looking forward to a good year, aren't we? I still think, look, it's not all the way to the top, but there's something in it. So it's half full, it's not half empty. Thank the Lord for the blessings that He's given us and starting off a good year. I think this is January 2nd, is that right? Okay, all right. So 363 days or so. Is this year a leap year? No? Okay, I think I got it right. I'm not real good at math, so you can help me out. But we're grateful for each of you here. We have some that are on vacation, and we'll pray they get home safely. Some that have been on vacation, we're glad you're back. And we'll continue. We started a thought this past week on where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. That's a scripture that we'll read. And we're going to continue with that in mind, but a little different way of looking at it. And so we'll ask you to turn in your Bibles, and we'll get there in a minute. I have some thoughts first. In Luke chapter 18, that's one of the passages we'll be reading from. And while you're turning there, we'll ask you for some thoughts. And, you know, I was reminded this morning, if you have a cell phone, turn the sound off. Turn the sound off on your cell phone. We're in the modern age. It'll help all of us be able to worship undistracted. Amen. I'd like to think about this idea of where our treasure is as we begin this new year. And in the thought of that, the thought of where our treasure is and how we accumulate it and how much time we spend with it and what we do with it, that kind of thing, I was reminded again of three things that influence that subject, where our treasure is. What we fear or what we love, think about treasure. Treasure is your wealth. It is your coin, but it's also your ideas, your preferences, your attitudes, your thoughts. So think about treasure that way. And our treasure is influenced by what we fear or what we love. It's also influenced by what we value. And thirdly, it's influenced by how we think about cost. How much will something cost us? So those things are three elements of how people make decisions about anything. They tend to accumulate what they love. They tend not to part with what they fear losing. They tend to accumulate what they value, but also sometimes how much things cost comes into our thinking. I worked for a company, and we went through a dry spell for several years because of the economy. And I sat next to the salespeople in that particular enterprise. I was the one that paid things out. They brought in the money that I paid out. And I listened to them talk about their price. They were the underwriters that determined the cost of the insurance that we sold. And the people they talked to, their customer was the agent. And so I sat next to the underwriter, and I listened to him all day long about pricing and about how much things cost. And because the economy was real tight and competitive, and there were lots of players in the market, the price was going down. Well, in that business, your price has to be at the right level or you'll lose money when you start to pay it out. And so what was happening was different competitors were entering the marketplace, but they weren't pricing their product fairly. They were underpricing their product so they could capture more of the market. But invariably, at the end of the year or two, those companies leave the market because they couldn't make money because their price was too low. And so the marketplace was really determining what it bought based on the cost of the product. And when the cost is too low, people lose money and they exit the market. Well, our underwriters were told, you're not going to compete on cost because we're not going to go out of business. So you're going to lose deals. Your price is going to be too high. But that's okay. You stay with it and the market will turn. And it took like 12 or 15 months. So for that long, I heard them trying to sell something that was not competitively priced. And what they were told to sell was value. Value, one of the components is cost, but value is also other things. Value is everything else that it means to you. And so they were told to sell value. And the market wasn't having any of it. Sometimes people base their decisions solely on how much things cost. But you know what? You know how it goes. You go to one of these online services where you purchase things and you can't touch and feel it, right? It just shows you a picture. And it's real cheap. It's real cheap. And you buy it. And you get it. And after a week, it breaks. And so you got what you paid for, right? Now, you made that decision based on cost. But what you found was it wasn't that valuable. So sometimes what's cheap is not always the most valuable. That's part of what we'll talk about. Okay. Another thought that I'd like to bring into this before we go to our text. What I value needs to be aligned with what God values. So as we start this year, this 2022, is our what we value, is it the same as what God values? Am I aligned with God? I need to be aligned with God in order to prosper. Now you might say, well, yes, brother. And then my question is, how have you determined with what you value is aligned with what God values? Is it simply what you think or what you want? Because we have a witness. We have at least this witness of things that God values, don't we? And so one of the things we can do is we can search the witness to see if what I value is the same as what God values. That means we have to read it. We have to search it. We can go to prayer and we can receive the witness of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Is what I value what God's value? So I'd like to ask you as we go along here and study, are we aligned with what God values? If I value all of my preferences, then I'm aligned with my own interests. That's what I'm aligned with, is my interest. If I value above all my preferences. So we need to know, not necessarily the interest of God. If I'm aligned with the world and its ways, then it's likely I will not be aligned with God. And so I need to figure out my interest, my preference, my thoughts, my ideas, my loves. Is God aligned with that? You with me so far? Okay. And we also said cost is not the same as value. So sometimes things are going to cost us more than we are comfortable with. But if we're seeking value, that might be okay. So we need to think about that. And finally, in all of this, one of the things that determines how we look at cost and value is fear. Normally, we will try to avoid what we fear. Because what we fear sometimes drives up the cost of the decision. Okay. But seeking value, rather than just determining the cost, will sometimes overcome the fear. Because the cost is not the primary driver. I know, this is a lot of Sunday morning, brother, you're making my head hurt. I need to say all this because it's part of what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm asking you to think about how much things cost, what the value of things are, and what you're aligned with, okay? Because it matters. Now let's go to our scripture. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to be reading from 18 through 23. And we referenced this past week. A certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Luke 18, verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." So the ruler wanted to know, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? In our language today, what do I have to do to be a Christian? What do I have to do to serve God? "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother." And he said, "All these things I've kept from my youth up." See, Jesus started with the law because he knew that the young ruler was going to say, "I am aligned with the law." And he's teaching a lesson. What we prefer, what we believe, what our opinion is, what our thought is not necessarily what God is aligned with. And so he's asking this young man first to determine, what are you aligned with? What are you lined up with? And of course, this young ruler is going to say, "I'm lined up with the law of Moses. I'm faithful to that." In other words, I go to church every Sunday, in our language today. I don't hang out. I don't go clubbing. I'm not partaking of foolishness and just doing things that I know are wrong. That's what he would say here. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yes, but you're lacking one thing. Sell everything that you have and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And when the young man heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And then Jesus said, it's easier to go through the eye of a needle, easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and so forth. Okay. We're going to give you three passages this morning, and that's the first one. So we're going to speak about the rich young ruler, and we're going to talk about cost and value and what we're lined up with, things like that. And we referenced for you Luke 12:34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay. And I'd like us to consider as we begin this new year that our greatest treasure, the treasure that we ought to be thinking about the most, is not our house, it's not our land, it's not our, this young man was very rich, he had many goods, it's not that, not ultimately. Our treasure ultimately, as we said, our opinions, our ideas, our preferences, our attitudes, our thoughts, that's the greatest treasure that each of us hold. I read a book once, and it was set during the Second World War, and it involved a Jewish family that was hidden in the village in Germany to try and avoid persecution. And it was all about these children and this family and so forth. And so the thought of the story was, at the end of the book, all the heroes in the book died. And it wasn't all for loss. I mean, there was some goodness that came out of it. But all the heroes died, including the children. And one of the thoughts that the author brought out was that, you know, in a sense, what starts wars is an idea. In a marriage, what starts a war is a strong difference of an opinion over an idea. I think this. I think that. You don't think this. You don't believe that. You don't. I don't. What starts the war is an idea. It's not usually you have more money than I do, or you have more stuff than I do, or you've got my stuff and I want more stuff. A fight about stuff. It's usually a difference about an idea. Ideas start wars. In that Second World War, it was an idea that caused those Jews to suffer. And the idea was that somehow a Jew was an Untermensch, less than human. That was the idea. So you see, as we begin 2022, our ideas matter. What we think matters. What we believe matters. What we value matters. What our opinions are, they matter. That's your treasure. This young man that Jesus was talking to was fearful of losing his treasure. You see what I'm saying? What you fear losing is what you will treasure. And so where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Also, what we fear losing is what we will love. If I don't love it, I don't really care if it goes. No harm, no foul. Easy come, easy go. I don't really love it, so if I lose it, it's okay. But what we fear losing is what we will love. And this young man feared losing the collection that he had gained. And when the young man heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. See, Jesus didn't go to "Do you commit adultery? What do you think about killing? Let's talk about stealing. Let's talk about not bearing false witness. Let's talk about honoring your father and mother." Jesus didn't go there. That he knew that that was not the most important thing to this young man. And so he kept going and he said, "Yeah, but you lack one thing." Sometimes the one thing that we're unwilling to give up is the one thing that God needs from us. And that one thing will keep us from that rich relationship with God, and it may put us at odds with God's people, the body of Christ, that one thing that we're unwilling to give up. And so God asked the young man, "Yeah, but there's one thing that you're unwilling to give up. I want you to sell everything that you have and distribute to the poor, and then you'll find your treasure." And the young man couldn't do it because that wasn't where his treasure was. His treasure was not in heaven. His treasure was with his stuff. And I'm saying, is our treasure with our opinion and our attitude? Is that what we fear losing? I have learned along the way that, yes, I too have strong opinions. But I have also learned through the school of hard knocks that sometimes I need to be willing to submit those to God and distribute those opinions to whatever poverty is and find my treasure in heaven. It is not stuff that will divide God's people. It is opinion, it's attitude, it's preference that will divide God's people. And God says, "Let it go. Let me have it. Don't hold on to it. Distribute it and let it go." So whatever that one thing is that we are having trouble with, let God have it so that you can find your treasure in heaven. Somebody says, "Brother, I have such a hard time finding my treasure in heaven." It's because there's one thing that we won't let go of. So don't come to the preacher, don't come to the teacher and say, "Brother, I'm just so worried, I'm so upset, I'm so confused." No, you're not. You really aren't. If you sat down carefully and let God look at your situation, what is the one thing or the two things or the three things that you have been unwilling to let go of? Sometimes it's self. What I think, what I'm troubled, and here I'll go back to, we are curators of our own museums of pain. We have warehouses of issues. I'll add that to opinions and attitudes. We have warehouses of issues that we've stored up. And whenever we want to bring those out and put them on display, we're the curator, we're the administrator, we're the displayer of stuff. And we have, and so we know quite well what's in that museum that we hold there, but we refuse to let it go. When it suits us, we bring it out and we put it out and we say, woe is me. Jesus would have nothing of it. He did not accept the woe is me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Woe is me. Jesus didn't say, well, I love you anyway, and so you just keep working on it, and sooner or later we'll all get there together. How hard is it for they which have riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and so forth. Okay. All right. In 2022, we need to pay attention to what we fear losing. I have a saying that goes along with this. Be careful what you bleed and die for, because you will be loath to give it up. Loath means you won't want to. Be careful what you bleed and die for, because you'll be loath to give it up. If it's that important to you, make sure that what you are bleeding and dying for is true. Because if you have made error that important, you're not going to want to give it up. Why would you? You've shed blood, sweat, and tears for your opinion or your idea or your attitude or your preference. Why would you want to give it up? You'll say, brother, I would never believe a lie, therefore it must be true. But at this point, I think sometimes we elevate ourselves almost above the will of God. That's why God says, let God be true. And every one of us, the liar. Even if we say, brother, what I believe has to be true because I would never make it a lie. If it starts to compete with the will of God, then you're not lined up with God. And the way to prevent that from happening is to be willing to let go of everything. All right. He feared losing his worldly wealth. He thought he had everything on the altar of prayer, but he didn't. And Jesus knew it, and he pointed him directly to what was not on the altar. And sometimes God will deal with us. And in early 2022, he may point you directly to what's not on the altar. And he's going to ask you, are you willing to give this up? Because I need to consume it, it's in the way. We think we have everything on the altar, but when it's tested, you'll find out. You'll find out whether it's really on the altar or not. And what needs to be tested, and what sometimes is the most difficult to give up, is what we love the most, and what we love the most, we fear losing. So fear is involved in this, fear of losing. What idea, what opinion, what attitude, what preference are we unwilling to give up because we fear losing it? That's where your treasure is. So I'm equating what we love with what we fear losing. What do we really fear losing? Make sure that what we fear losing is the same as what God doesn't want to lose. Make sure those two things are lined up. Do you know that God doesn't want to lose some things? God doesn't want to lose holiness. God doesn't want to lose the essence of what He has created. God made man and woman. And so evidently there's something in there about gender that God cares about. He doesn't want to lose that. He doesn't want us to alter it and make it something different. God did it this way for a purpose. He doesn't want to lose that. Why? Because He loves it. God made us so that we would worship Him. He doesn't want to lose that. He loves that. So it's not inappropriate to say what we fear losing is what we love the most. Okay. All right. Acts chapter 5. This is the second passage I would like to read and ask you to study with us. Acts chapter 5 and the first 10 verses. Our treasure is a function of what we fear losing, which is what we love, what we value. Okay. And sometimes what it costs. A certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, or she was like in on it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. That's important. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. He died. And great fear came on them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife came, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Peter was actually a good lawyer. A good lawyer never asks a question they don't know the answer to. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they're going to carry you out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. She died, and the young men came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her and her husband, and great fear came upon the church, as many as heard these things. Great fear came upon the church, and it was not inappropriate, it was not a sin, that great fear came upon the church that heard these things. Okay. What did Ananias and Sapphira fear losing the most? Anybody? The land that they sold, and the land they sold for a certain price, right? Let's say they sold the land for $100,000. And they came to the apostles and they laid 50,000 at their feet. And they kept 50,000. And the apostles said, is this how much it cost? And they said, yes. But the Holy Ghost revealed to Peter that that was a lie. And Peter said, why are you playing this game? You didn't have to sell this land and bring it half of back to us. You could have kept it and not lied to anybody. You could have said, I have a piece of land and I'm not going to sell it. Why have you done this? This is a very human thing, by the way. These ethical decisions that we face every day. Should I? Shouldn't I? Is this right? Is this wrong? But he said, look, it's not that hard. Just don't lie to God. Come on. Just don't lie to God. What they feared the most was losing all of the $100,000. That's why they kept back half of it. That's what they feared the most. That's where their treasure was. Their treasure was in the value of this land, and the cost of selling all of it was too much to pay. And so they kept back a part. In my example, it's half. And so they kept back a part because the cost was too much to pay. In 2022, we're going to be asked to do things that involve great cost to us personally. Sure, we will. Because the enemy knows that he can set up an ethical problem for you that involves right and wrong, and that is going to create a great cost to you personally. Maybe you'll have to apologize to somebody because you did something wrong. Maybe you'll have a decision on or about April 15 on whether or not to disclose all the income that you earned this last year. And because the taxes are going to include all of that income, and you'll say, you know what? I'll figure out a way not to disclose all that income because it'll save me on my taxes. And maybe that's where our treasure is. I hope not. Maybe it'll be some other kind of ethical problem. Maybe it'll be a problem next week involving you and your spouse. I might have to say I'm sorry. And really mean it, not just say it, because it needs to happen. But the cost of doing that is too great for you, and it won't happen. You'll say, I've gone to church. I've done these things appropriately. I've measured up in all this. But in that one thing, God will say, I need that. And we'll say, the cost is too much. I can't give all of that. The cost. And so when we make decisions based on the cost, sometimes we don't make the right decision. I would prefer a cheaper cost, because it won't cost me that much. But sometimes we get what we pay for, don't we? If the decision that we make is just based on the cheaper cost, the easier way out, sometimes we don't get the value that God wants, and we are not lined up with God. So this is Ananias and Sapphira. It's the second witness of where the treasure is. There's more sin and more heartache and more unhappiness in the world over the love of money than just about anything else. Amen. The love of money is rooted in the fear of its loss. That's why I need you to understand this morning that fear of losing something can be directly related to what we love. The love of money is rooted in unbelief that somehow God cannot care for his children. And the love of money in a bigger sense is avarice or greed, satisfying self to the exclusion of everyone else. I know this is a hard thing this morning. You were hoping that, brother, I hope we were going to get more sugar in our tea. This will help us if we'll take it. I had this conversation with ministers in times past, and we do still. I think maybe a week or so ago, I had this very conversation with a pastor. And I said, brother, I'm going to tell you what I fear losing. I fear losing my relationship with God. What does that mean? I love more than anything else, I think, my relationship with God. And that's why I don't go about fearful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Another way to say it is, I reverence. Is that okay for you? I reverence more than anything else. I'm using old language when I say fear. I'm using biblical language, by the way. I reverence more than anything else losing my relationship with God. That's the first thing I fear. If that's the first thing that we fear, it will solve a multitude of problems. If we fear losing our relationship with God more than losing anything else, it will solve a multitude of problems. I value is the same as love in my language. I value my wife and my children. So what that means is, next to God, I fear losing the relationship and the presence of my wife more than anything else. And you can add your children if you have children to that. When you reverence that or fear that, it's the same as you love that. So I'm asking us to consider, what do we love early in 2022? What do we treasure? That's where our heart is. It's not that hard. I value or I fear losing the relationship with my congregation. I reverence the relationship with my congregation. Otherwise, I should not be a pastor. Hello? Otherwise, I should not be a pastor. If my congregation is not that dear to me, then ultimately what I would say is, well, easy come, easy go. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they went back to wherever they came from, and they're in a horrible mess, and well, that's their decision. Easy come, easy go. Well, then I don't really value that person. Now, you all could say the same thing. I reverence my place and the association that I have with my congregation. You could say that. And so then you too would say, if brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so suffers, or they're having loss, or they're gone, you too could say, I'm heartbroken over that. It's not easy come, easy go. What we fear losing is what we love the most. I fear losing my health. I reverence my health. This one's more complicated. Because we can get away with having a brownie sometimes, and some cookies, and some cake, and some ice cream, and all those things that we know we're not supposed to consume a lot. We can get away with that for a while, but later on it's going to catch up with us. But see what I'm saying? You reverence that. You fear losing your health because we love it. I fear losing my association with people who have a good spirit. I fear that. It matters to me. Who are about to help me, who love God. And if I didn't, I would just say, eh. If I can say adios to those who I have called my friends, I really haven't feared losing them. That was Ananias and Sapphira. They could ultimately care less about God's church and God's people. And they were able to say, adios, and it didn't really matter. But not only that, they lied about it. They kept their profession, but God called them out. So we don't want to be Ananias and Sapphira. Don't lie about this. Sometimes we say, well, it's just something between me and brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, or it's just something between me and my neighbor. Be careful that you're not lying to God. Come on. And the last one is the example of Abraham. And I'd like you to go to Genesis chapter 22. What we fear losing is what we love. And what we love is where our treasure is. And our treasure needs to be in heaven. Genesis 22 in the first, I think it's the first several verses there, 1 through 13. Came to pass after these things, God tempted Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." This is dramatic. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son. He cut the wood up for burnt offering. He rose up. He went to the place God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young man, 'You all stay here with the animals, and the lad and I are going to go up yonder to worship, and we'll come again to you.' And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand, a knife. They went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here am I, my son.' And he said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb.'" Now, in our day, God has provided a lamb. "And they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven unto him and said, 'Abraham, Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I. Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that you" what? What's that word? "Fear." "Now I know that you fear me. What we fear losing, we will love. Now I know that you fear God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket, horns. Abraham went, took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son." What we fear losing, we will love. I would like us to consider this morning in early 2022, what do you fear losing? Do you fear losing your relationship with God more than anything else? And I'm not talking because God is a vengeful God. We fear losing it because God has been so good to us. Everything that I am, everything that I have, all of my opinions, all of the gray matter in my head, however much of it is there, everything that we have, the wealth that we have or the wealth that we don't have, the health that we have or what we don't have, everything that we have, God has given to us. Do we fear losing that relationship with God more than anything else? If that is true, and it's based not on the vengeful God, the hurtful God, the God that will hurt me because I take one wrong move, but it's based upon the God of love, and that is what it is. Don't make it anything else. Then at the end of 2022, you'll probably be in a safe place if you're still alive. He feared two things, Abraham did. He feared losing his son. Ishmael was already lost to him. Isaac was all that he had left. And in the beginning of this, he said, "I want you to take your only son up to this mountain and I want you to kill him." And I'm not like a sentiment that might suggest that, well, Abraham was this ideal type of a human, and he knew God would raise up Isaac, and so he didn't have a problem with taking a knife and plunging it into his son's chest. That was okay for him, because he knew God would just raise up Isaac, and it would all be good again. I don't believe that. I believe Abraham loved his son, that he was a human being, that he was a father, that he had watched this baby crawl up. And when God told him to slay his son, I think that was a big problem for Abraham because he was human. If we make him less than human, then we take away the value of the story. He feared losing his son. But he also feared losing something else. He feared losing the covenant that God had promised him. And not just him, but God had promised that through Abraham and through Isaac, he would fulfill his covenant or his agreement. And more than anything else, Abraham feared losing that. That was more important than even his son. Today, a husband and a wife, they love each other. They're working out together, their relationship and so forth. But if the husband backslides, that wife needs to stay true to God. What we fear losing, we will love. And so that relationship with God has to be more important than anything else. If the wife backslides, that husband needs to stay true. Why? Because he loves God more than anything else. And if he were to follow the wife out, then he didn't really fear losing God. He was able to say, adios, I'm going with her. That too is gospel. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Later, you can study that. We need to take this quite seriously, don't we? Abraham chooses to lose Isaac because he feared losing God more. Mm-hmm. And I'm just about done. Because this is the third witness to this idea that what we fear losing, we love the most. And what we love the most is really where our treasure is. And sometimes it's related to the cost of what it is. The unity of the church is directly related to what its members value or what they're afraid of losing. And the reason why division happens ultimately is because two people value something different. Two people really fear losing something different. What I fear losing is not what you fear losing. And so ultimately when that happens, we're two ships passing in the night. And when the problem comes up, that's when division occurs. This is exactly why division occurs. And so I've told ministers and I've told pastors, from my humble point of view, and I'm just one voice, what the church needs is, if there's ever an ecumenical council that is needed, and Acts chapter 15 was the first ecumenical council. If there's ever a minister's meeting, that's what we call it, that is needed, it is that pastors need to sit down together and decide what they value and talk about what they fear losing. Some people fear losing their position, and so they'll do anything to keep their position. Some people fear losing their set of dogmas that they've come up with. And so they'll do anything to keep those dogmas. Some people fear losing an association with a group. And so they'll do anything to stay in that group because that's what they value the most. But we need to ask ourselves, does God value those things the most? We need to be lined up with what God values. See, we have a generation, and this is a soapbox now, we have a generation of leaders in the church who have never decided what they hold in common, what they value in common. And so it's, people come, the sister spoke on diversity this morning, and thank the Lord for the diversity of gifts and all the things that the church needs. But that diversity is meant to bring us, or somehow, out of that e pluribus unum. Out of many, one. And the world today has completely forgotten the value of that. And so what is preached today is out of many, many. This is not foolishness that is on your dollar bill. It's on the back. You can barely see it. The eagle has it in his mouth. E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. That's a biblical idea. We come from many different backgrounds, many different socioeconomic places, cultures, ethnicities, amen. But we are meant to come into the crucible of the Holy Spirit, and He makes us one. And the blood of Christ makes us one. And part of the reason that's able to happen is because ultimately we all value the same thing. God is ultimately first. But see, this will be tested. And that's why, as the rich young ruler, it'll be tested. Where is our first love? Where is our value? What do we fear losing? Other people, things people, they value more than anything else is personal convictions. That's a big one. Personal convictions. And this goes along with an idea can cause a problem. Personal convictions today are dividing nations, they're dividing the world. Personal convictions can divide the church. What do we fear losing? You know, I had a man one time tell me that he appreciated the way women dress that are modest. And the man, not the woman, the man had certain ideas about what that meant, that the woman dressing modest. And I appreciate when women dress modest. I do. And he had certain opinions about the specifics of what that meant. And I thought, knock yourself out. Just don't preach that and make that the standard for me. See? And if he's willing to do that, then that, the fear of loss of that will not divide him from me. That'll be a conviction that he has to deal with. I have convictions that are important to me. And the fear of loss of that. But we learn to submit those to things that are more important, to create unity. People have convictions about private interpretations of the Scripture. They think the Scripture must mean this and nothing else. And that becomes what they fear losing. Not, I fear losing first my relationship with God. Their first is their personal conviction on that interpretation of the gospel. That divides congregations. You can see this, it's so clear. Things that divide congregations, look for the reasons of the division, and you'll find that those are the things they feared losing the most. And then now line that up with Scripture and say, is that what God fears losing the most? And you'll see they're two different things. This is not that hard. These are things that divide people. So in 2022, what's the thing that we reverence the most? That will be where our first love is. That will be where our first love is. Everything else that comes up will fall behind that. And that's why I say, you never really know who or what your Isaac is until it's placed on the altar of sacrifice. People have told me, brother, I've got all my Isaacs on the altar, and I'll let God take care of them. I'm not going to pull them off. I'll not untie him, and I won't drop the knife and pick my Isaac off the altar, and because that is what I love the most. That's what I fear losing. I won't do that, brother. I'm going to keep. And then when I see that person, I see an Isaac come up and. See, we never really know what we'll do until we're confronted with that situation. A health concern threatens our existence. We think we've got that on the altar, but we never really know if we do or not until we're faced with it. And to some degree, there's nothing wrong with that. Some things you just don't know how it's going to go until you're confronted by it. But in the end, God says, do you fear me more than anyone else? Do you reverence me more than anything else? Do you reverence me more than the loss of your health? Can we all say amen? We'd like to say that we can say amen, but honestly, in a human way, we may be confronted by that and that be threatened. And we go through a trial and we go through a struggle. Amen. But as long as we keep our love for God, He will help us keep that on the altar of prayer. Make sure that what we fear losing is also what the Lord loves. Thank you for your help this morning. A little bit on treasure and where our heart is and how to think about it so we can stay in the right relationship with God and with each other. Sister? We'll sing a song. Let's stand.
We're going to close with the song, You May Have Salvation If You Will.
My God, if we come to the place, saints, in 2022, first service of the year, and we know there's something in our life which we have feared more than we should. We have loved more than we should. If there's something in our life, even an idea, an opinion, an attitude, a preference, we can start the year with repentance. Amen? Mm-hmm. That means change. That means go a different direction. That means, God, help me. Help me let go of this. That young ruler, he needed to let go. Ananias and Sapphira, they needed to let go. All right. So where we're seated or where we're standing or up here at the altar, let's do business with God this morning. Amen? Is that okay? As we sing.
You may know this day that your sins are gone if you'll come to Christ and forsake the wrong. If you will repent from the heart, forgive, to obey, believe Him, sinner, look and live. You may have salvation if you will. You may have salvation if you will. If you'll turn from sin, give your heart to Him. You may have salvation if you will. You may know just now that you're justified, that you're clean from sin, and you're sanctified, and that you can live and His law fulfill. For He says, come, sinner, prove me if you will. You may have salvation if you will. You may have salvation if you will. If you'll turn from sin, give your heart to Him. You may have salvation if you will. You may come right here in despite of all, if you will give heed to the Master's call. And the promise comes, whosoever will come and drink, salvation waters flowing still. You may have salvation if you will. You may have salvation if you will. If you'll turn from sin, give your heart to Him. You may have salvation if you will. You may come at once. You have no excuse thus to live in sin and such great abuse of thy soul and all God has given. Will you come? come this moment, he will set you free. You may have salvation if you will. You may have salvation if you will. If you'll turn from sin, give your heart to salvation.